Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Brachos Daf Nun Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins two lines from the top, the second line from the top of Daf Nun Beis. In the Mishnah, the Resha of our Mishnah, we learned a machlokis between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel regarding the order of Birchas Hayayin and Birchas Hayom when it comes to the recitation of something like Kiddush. Beis Shammai says that you first acknowledge the day, the Kiddush, and then you make a brocha on the Yayin. And Beis Hillel said you first make the brocha on the Yayin, on the wine, and then you make the brocha on the Yom, the Kiddushas Hayom. Regarding Shitas Beis Shammai, the Gemara here asks a question, and you'll notice the question is marked as a long question. This is indicated by the kuf, to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text that's encircled with a descending vertical dashed line. And the Gemara reads, V'savri Beis Shammai de Birchas Hayom Adifa? Is it really so that Beis Shammai gives priority to the Birchas Hayom? In other words, places that first. V'atanya. We have a Tanaic source that will indicate otherwise. And the importance here is to focus on the order of things. So the source says, Hanichnas lebeis b'motzoi Shabbos. One enters his house Saturday night, which involves the Havdalah recitation, and Havdalah is paralleled to Kiddush for our purposes. It's also a separation between the holy and the mundane, just like Kiddush is the separation between Friday and Shabbos, so too the Havdalah is a separation between Shabbos and the next day. So he enters his home on Motzoi Shabbos, Mevorech al Hayayin, Val Hamor, Val Absomim, V'achar Kach Omer Havdalah. Notice the order. He says a brocha on the wine. That's mentioned first in the order of things that you see here. The last thing to be mentioned, where you see the dot underlined, is Havdalah. So we've given these items their own marking, a dot underline, so that you can see the order very quickly. Yayin first, and at the end, Havdalah. In the middle, there's Mo'or, the brocha over the fire, and or the candle, the Al Habisamim, on the spices. The source goes on to say, V'im ein lo elo kois echod, if he has only one cup of wine, Manichoi la'achar hamazon, he will then leave the cup aside till after he finishes his meal, umeshal shalon kulon acharov, and then he'll set up. The word meshal shalon is to set up all of the brachas after the birchas hamazon. You notice that we have a long bracketed section, and you can see the length of this bracketed section by glancing to the right hand side, to the left hand side of the Gemara text. You see a vertical dash dotted line. All of these lines, you'll notice in the Gemara, are in brackets. After the bracketed section, the Gemara says, Umikomo kom kashya. The question that is raised from this brisa that we just read remains a problem. And you see in this source, first wine, and then Havdalah, Havdalah being parallel to Kiddush. And yet Beis Shammai said first the Kiddushas Hayom, and only afterwards the Yayin. That question remains till that point. That's why in our markings we're calling this all a very long question. In fact, what we'll do is we'll skip to the answer so that you can see the whole flow with a bird's eye view. The Gemara answers, Kosavri Beishamai, Shaini Iuli, Yoima Me Afuki Yoima. One makes a distinction between the entering of the day, where we want to mention Kiddush as quickly as possible, so we give that priority, we place that first. Me'afuki Yom is the exiting of the day, which is in the case of Havdalah. The Gemara explains, Iuli Yoma, Kamo de Mekadmino Le Odif. The earlier you can mention it, namely the Birchas Hayom, the benediction. Acknowledging the sanctity of the day, we try to recite that as early as possible, so we put that before the wine. Afuki yomo, when it comes to the exiting of the day, then kamo de machrinon le odif. The later we can make the bracha regarding the end of the day, the day-related bracha, namely the Havdalah bracha, the later we can make it, the better. Why? Ki hechi delo levi alon kemasui, so that it shouldn't appear to us as a burden. In other words, someone who would rush to say the Havdalah paragraph before the wine, it's a type of demonstration that he wants to get rid of the day. So when it comes to the end of the day, the longer we can keep the sanctity upon us, the better, the more praiseworthy that is. The expression "delo lehevi alon kemasui," that it shouldn't appear to us as a burden. Now, in order to get back into the details, we just want to review what we've presented so far. We had our Mishnah saying that Beis Shammai, in terms of ordering Kedushas Hayom with wine, first Kedushas Hayom, then the wine. We have a Tanaic source that we read already that indicates first wine and then Havdalah, which is Kedushas Hayom. And at the end of the day, we answered why the difference. But in order to ask the question, this nameless Brisa has to be established as reflecting the Shita of Beis Shammai. So in the brackets, the Gemara will attempt to challenge that assumption. But as we all saw, these challenges fail, leaving us with the question at the end of the long question. You'll notice in the brackets we have diamonds and a double underline. The Mivneh heading, the structural note, on the outside margin, we have written, where you see the diamond and double underline, She'elois birur mi chiber samokher. These are questions to clarify who in fact authored this source. So, now the bracketed section. Who says that this source reflects Beis Shammai in the first place? Maybe it is Shitas Beis Hillel. And if it's Shitas Beis Hillel, so we would expect the wine to be before the Havdalah, the Kedushas Hayom Bracha. And there would be no question. The Gemara answers, Lo Salka Daitoch. You can't think, even. You can't raise that as a possibility. De Kotani, it says in the source we read, you'll notice we have a little star to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text, so you can align this with the star above. It said in this text, Mo'or V'achakach B'samim, first bracha on candle, then bracha on besamim. There's an order involved there as well. And by the way, in our markings, in the original source, you can see that we dashed underlined that, giving it a contrast to type marking, a different marking than we did for the Yayin and Havdalah, to bring this out so we can focus on this separately. So in the source, it mentions first candle, then besamim. Uman shamis leidish lehi svara. Who holds by that order? Answer, Beis Shammai. That is in fact Beis Shammai. Desanyon, we bring you now a Tanaic source that points this out. And of course, as usual, just focus on the markings. In this source, you'll see that we've underlined Beis Shammai's name, and you see a dashed underlining under Mor and then Besamim. Compare the order here with the source from which we originally asked our question. Again, you see in the dashed underlining Mor and then Besamim. So we establish from this source, which has a name in it, has Beis Shammai, that the original source, in fact, was Beis Shammai, and hence we have a basis for asking our question. So let's now go over the source. Desanya, Amar Rav Yehuda, Lo nechleku be shamay be sil al hamozon shebetchila val avdola shehi basov. If you have, let's say, a string of brachas, and you're Saturday night, and it's time to say havdola, and it's also time to say birchas hamozon, so they will agree that you have the birchas hamozon recited first, and the havdola said at the end. Al ma nechleku al hamor val basamim. They have a machlokus regarding the order of candle and spices. What we have done with our markings, we're focusing only on the main point. We see from here that Beishamai holds first more and then besamim, hence the source at the top from which we based our question, or on which we based our question, having more and then besamim is clearly a Beishamai source, and in that source at the top, four lines from the top, you saw first Yayin and then Havdalah, which is the question. How can that be? How can then we say in our Mishnah that it's first the Kedushas Hayom, first Kiddush and then Yayin? The Gemara, though, is relentless. Umimai de Beishamai hi valiba de Rabbi Huda. Who says that that source from which we based our on which we based our question is in fact in accordance with Rabbi Huda, with Rabbi Huda's version of Beishamai? Dilma Beis Hilleli. Maybe that source at the top is in fact not Beishamai, but it's rather Beis Hillel. Vialiba de Rabbi Meir. And according to Rabbi Meir, who, now let's just say that the main point, Rabbi Meir's version of Beis Hillel, and by the way, these, we haven't seen these, we haven't seen the source for this yet, but it will come up later in the Gemara. But for the time being, this, we'll just accept this as a given. Maybe if the source at the top is in accordance with Rabbi Meir's version of Beis Hillel, that happens to hold first mor and then besamim. So the Gemara answers, lo salka daitoch. You cannot think that the source at the top is Rabbi Meir's version of Beis Hillel. Dekotoni hocha b'masnisin. It says in our Mishnah, which is according to Rabbi Meir, it says as follows, Rabbi Beishama Yomrim, ner umazon besamim v'havdala. The order, of course, is the focus of our attention. Ubeis Hillel Omrim, ner ubesamim, mazoin v'havdala. That's as far as our Mishnah is concerned. V'hosam v'braisa katoni, but in the Tanaic source, it said, im ein lo elo kois echad. You'll notice we have a little arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the moral text. You can align this with the arrow above, and you'll see where this quote is coming from. It said there, im ein lo elo kois echad, manicho li achar hamozon, umeshal shilon kulon li acharov. Basically, birchas hamozon is first position. In Rabbi Meir's realm, whether it be Beis Shammai or Beis Hillel, the mazon is not in the first position, and that's what we saw in the quote just in the frame just before this. And you'll notice how we highlighted the word mazon, especially under Beis Shammai, so that you see that in order to suggest that the brisa from which we asked our question was Rabbi Meir's version of Beis Hillel, that cannot be, because Rabbi Meir's version of Beis Hillel would not have mazon in the first position, and yet the source at the top does have mazon in the first position. In the case of if he has only one cup, so he says the birchas hamazon first. Shma mino. So we conclude from here the Beis Shammai v'alibud Rabbi Huda, that the source above from which we asked our question was in fact Beis Shammai, according to Rabbi Huda. Umikol Malkom Kashya. So now the question comes back. We see Beis Shammai saying that you mention the wine first, and then later the Havdola, which we said corresponds to Kedushas Hayom. The Gemara answers. Kosavri Beis Shammai, Shaini Iyuli Yuma, Me'afuki Yuma. One is to make a distinction between the entering of the day, that's Iyuli Yuma, that's when we say Kiddush, from the case of Havdola. Afukim was the exiting of the day, which is Havdola. Iyula Yoma, Kama Demakdeminon Le Odif, when it comes to the entering of the day, which involves the recitation of Kiddush, the earlier you can do it, the better it is. The recitation of the Kiddush is Hayom Brocha. And Afukiyom, when it comes to Havdola, Kama Demachrinon Le Odif, the later we can say the bracha regarding the day, the Havdolah bracha, better. So that it shouldn't appear to us as a burden, which would be the case if he had said the Havdolah before the wine, showing us he wants to get rid of the day quickly. The Gemara now asks another question. It's a question that's not directly related to the topic we were just discussing, but it does relate to the sources that we had mentioned above. So the Gemara asks, "V'savri beishamay birchas hamazon tuna kos, does beishamay hold that the recitation of birchas hamazon is to be done over a cup of wine?" Now you'll ask, where did you get that impression? Well, if you look at we have a double star to the meter right hand side of the Gemara text. You can align this with the double star above. And there we have a source that we indicated was a base Shammai source. That was the gist of the previous discussion, establishing that source is a base Shammai source. And in that source, it says that if he has a cup of wine, he has only one cup of wine, so he should save the cup of wine for the Birchas Hamazon and then say the rest of the brachas afterwards. But it seems to be very important to the Tana of that source above that Birchas Hamazon should be set over a cup of wine. Don't drink it beforehand. So we ask V'ha Tanan, but we have the following Tanaic source, which says Balahem Yayin Lachar Hamazon. A cup of wine arrives after the meal before they said Birchas Hamazon. Imein Shom Ela Oisoi Kois. If he has only one cup of wine, Beishamay Omri Mevorech Al Yayin. He should make a bracha over the wine, which basically means make the bracha over the wine and drink it, and then make your bracha, then say your bracha samazon. So, my love, the mevorech iluyah v'shosilo, does it not mean that you say the bracha over the wine and drink it, showing us that bracha samazon does not require your having a cup of wine? You drank it already. Lo, that's not the pshat. Rather, the mevorech iluyah monachle. The source that we just read says that you mevorach on the wine means make a bracha on the wine and leave it. Question, and you'll see we have a double underline scheme here, and on the side these are noted under the mivne heading Sidra Shel Kushios al Tirutz HaGemara. These are a series of questions on the Gemara's answer. So, the Gemara asks, V'ha'amar mor ha'mevorach tzorach shi'yitoyim, that one who says the Birchas Hamazon, one who says a bracha over the wine, it said, Mevorach Hayayin, if you say a bracha over the wine, you have to taste it. So the Gemara says, Detoimle, so fine, let him taste it. That's not to the exclusion of the wine being used for Birchas Hamazon. So he tastes from the cup of wine and then uses the rest for Birchas Hamazon. Question, Vomamar Tomo Pogmo, but has it not been taught that once you make a bracha over a cup of wine and then taste from it, it becomes pogum? Pogum means it's not able to be used for another mitzvah. Detoyim le'biodei. He doesn't actually drink from the cup, he dips his finger into the wine and tastes it that way. So that doesn't make it unfit for another mitzvah. Is it not so that a kosher bracha requires a minimum quantity, and if he tastes from it, even if he uses his finger where he dips it in and tastes from it, but he's diminishing the quantity? The Gemara answers, "Dinofish le tfei mishurei." The cup of wine had it to begin with more than the minimum amount required for the kosher bracha. So he's able to taste it and also able to have a cup for the bracha. Question, V'ha im ein shom ela oisa kais kotani. How can you say a moment before that there is more than the shi'ur when the source itself says if he has only one cup, which indicates only the amount for one cup, no more? So the Gemara answers, Trey lo havi umechad nofish. When it says he has only one cup, it means he doesn't have two full cups, but he's got more than one cup. So we can still preserve the explanation that it did in fact taste it. And it's not poking because he used his finger, and he'll have what there is to be left over because there was as a result of the tasting, there still remained a shiur for a koshel brocha. Question: V'ha Tony Rabbi Chia beishamayom remivorech alayayin v'shosehu v'achakah remivorech b'chazamazon. This word v'shoseh, which we dash underline, is something more than just tasting. It means that he drinks the cup, so he's not going to have anything left for the birchas hamazon. And yet, in the source above, where we saw the original double star, we're talking here about the six lines from the top of the Omid. There, it seemed that you did need a cup for birchas hamazon. Here you have a Beis Shammai source indicating that you don't need one because you're drinking it before you get to the birchas hamazon. So the Gemara concludes, Ela trei tanoi v'libo de Beis Shammai. There are two Tanaic versions as to what Beis Shammai actually holds. So the source at the top would indicate that Beis Shammai does require a kos for Birchas HaMazon, a cup of wine for Birchas HaMazon, and this more recent quote would indicate that he does not. Beis Shammai Omrim V'chulei. Before we go into the Gemara, we have a topic heading on the side, and we've written Nosei Beis Shammai. The Nosei is Hezber Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. We'll be focusing on the machlokes Beis Shammai Hillel regarding order of things. There's the washing of the hands, and then there's the filling up of the cup with wine. You may notice also that we've used a diamond with a colored in tip. These are what we've called in the Dvar Mivneh heading Havlotas Shemos, to have the names be prominent and stick out so that you can see them easily. Beis Shammai Omrim. The topic heading that we noted was that we are going to see a Hezber, Beis Shammai Silbinin Seder Netilus Yadayim Umezigas Akos, and we now read a Tanaic source featuring this point. Tan Rabbanan Beis Shammai Omrim Noitlim Yodayim V'achakach Moizgim Es HaKos. One is expected to wash his hands, and we're talking about washing his hands before a meal, before in anticipation of eating bread, and then he will fill up the cup of wine. She'im Ata Oimer Moizgim Es HaKos Tchila. If you were to have the filling up of the cup of the wine first, before he's metayer his hands, gzeiro shemo yitamu mashkin she'achore hakos machmas yodav. We are afraid that the droplets of liquid that are on the outside of the cup will become tomei because of his hands that he didn't wash. Hands are assumed to be tumah; they have a status of tumah attached to them, and the hands will metama the droplets on the outside of the cup. The yachsu vitamu es hakos, and then those droplets will metama the cup. So Beis Shammai says, since we don't want the cup becoming tumah, we want to make sure that your hands are tohor beforehand. So if the hands are tohor beforehand, and that we accomplish by washing them first, then you fill up the cup whose outside is tohor, and even if there are droplets on the outside of the cup and they come into contact with your hands are tohor, so the cup does not get ruined. Question: Vilitamu yodayim lakos. Why does the source emphasize the droplets becoming tummy through the hands? In other words, the droplet serving as a type of conduit of the tuma. Why not speak about the hands directly being mitama the cup? The Gemara answers, Yodayim shnios hain. Hands that are unwashed have a status of a second level tuma, which is called shnios le tuma. V'ein sheni oise shlishi b'chulin el ayidei mashkin. And a sheni does not make something into a shlishi when you're dealing with the realm of chulin, unless there is a liquid medium. So if there is a liquid medium, so the hands will have an effect. Now this piece of Gemara is very brief. So what we would like to do is just look at the Rashi, who fills in a little more information. Elo al yedei mashkin. We're looking at Rashi. That you'll notice a number of lines above this point in the Rashi commentary. Shehamashkin nasin rishonim midurabonan. With when you have hands that are tamei, and they come into contact with water or with the liquid will become a rishon. It jumps up a step on a rabbinic level. This is very unusual. This does not conform to the standard laws of tumah, where passage of tumah from one item to the next necessitates a decrease in tumah level. Here, it's a rabbinic law that mashkin that comes into contact with even a sheni l'tuma, the mashkin jumps up to becoming a rishon. The Im Toma, Rashi adds more information. You might ask, Klieno mekabel tuma elo mi avatuma. A vessel doesn't become tuma anyway unless you're dealing with a primary level tuma, an avatuma. And here you're talking about the hands being metama the liquid, and the liquid, which is a rishon, will metama the kli. How could that be? So hani mili mido raisa, that which we said that a kli becomes tome only through primary level contact, you know, contact with a primary level tumo, that's on a Torah level. The chachamim gozru, however, the chachamim imposed a regulation, shiumashkin rishon metamin kli, that first level mashkim tameim can in fact metamekli, and they made this ruling gzeru mishum mashkin zav zavol shein ovas atuma. They wanted us not to confuse liquid, so they made across the board ruling that the mashkin will metamekli even if it happens to rishon, in anticipation of a case of mashkin which really can be metamekli. Those are liquids that come forth from a zav and zava, which are classified as ovas hatuma, kagon roiko yumei miraglov, like the saliva of a zav or a zava, or their urine. Let us turn back to the Gemara. We're continuing in our analysis, expounding on the ideas of Beis Shammai Beis Hillel regarding the washing of the hands and the filling up of the cup. So we just presented Beis Shammai's reasoning for first making sure the hands are tahor before you fill up the cup, because otherwise you will endanger the cup. You will subject the cup to becoming tamei, and Beis Shammai wants to avoid having the cup become tamei. Ubeis Hillel omrim, moizgin es hakoyis v'achakach noitlin v'yodayim. Fill up the cup first, and then wash your hands. She'im ata oimer noitlin v'yodayim tchila, if a person will metayer his hands first through doing netilas yadayim, through washing his hands. Shemo yitamu mashkin shivadayim. After washing your hands, so there may very well be liquid in the hands, dampness. That's the mashkin shivadayim. Machmas hakoyis viachs vitamus yadayim. Well, if he's going to have wet hands and then touch the cup may very well be tomei, and it will communicate tuma from the cup, which is tomei, to his hands through the liquid in his hands. The Gemara asks, "Vitami kois leyadayim." Why is it important to mention that the hands are wet? Why doesn't the cup mitama the hands directly? Answer: Ein kli mitama odam. A vessel does not communicate tuma to people. Question: Vinitami lemashkin shebasocho. If you're talking about a cup becoming a cup that's tomei, and the cup is going to be metama's hands, well, it would stand to reason then that the cup would be metama the liquid that is contained therein. So the Gemara says no. Hocha b'kli shenitmu achirov b'mashkin askinon. Here we're talking about a very special case where the vessel became tomei. The outside surface of the vessel alone became tamei, and you'll ask, how could that happen? That's because the outside surface of the vessel came into contact with liquid that had been tamei. And the rule is the tocho tohor v'gabo tome. When you have a kli that came into contact, whose outside came into contact with mashkim tameim, it's metame only the outside, where that's the gabo. The inside remains tohor. Disnan, and the Tanaic source bears this information out. Kli shnitnu achoriv v'mashkim, a vessel whose outside, or its exterior, became tomei through contact with liquid that was tomei. Achirav tomeim, the result is that the outside becomes tomei. However, we continue at the top of Omid Beis. Toichoi, the ognoi, ozno, the odav tohorim, the interior, that's the tocho. The ogno would be the rim, and the ozno, the ozen of the kli is a type of handle, a circular or semicircular handle. And the yodo would be an extension, like a long handle, like a frying pan type handle. Those will remain tor. However, nitma toicho, if the interior of the kli became tame, nitma kulo, then the whole kli becomes tame, including the exterior. B'mai komifligi, what is the underlying point of controversy between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai regarding this topic of washing hands first and then filling up the cup, or filling up the cup and then washing the hands? So the Gemara explains, gets into the depth of their machloikis. Beis Shammai savri osur lishtamish bekli shenitnu achorov b'mashkin. First and foremost, we establish that it is forbidden, according to Beis Shammai, to use a kli whose exterior is tomei. And the reason for that is gzeira mishum nitzotzos. We're afraid of droplets that would land on such a vessel that whose exterior would be tame, and then those nitzotzos would become tame, and they'll communicate tumah to people's hands that were washed. People who were metayer their hands will be their hand washing will become ruined. So we say, at the outset, that you should, we say as a primary halacha, that the cup that you use must be tohor. And as we said, the reason for their insisting on using a tohor cup is because if not, then the droplets that would land on the outside of such a vessel will become tomei, and they will then metame the hands. V'leko lemigzar shemo yitamu hamashkin shibiyodayin shibakos. And now that we've established that the outside of the kli must be tohor, wash your hands first, and the wetness in your hands will not become tomei because the outside of the cup is tohor. So Beis Shammai, once we've established as a premise that you're using a tohor cup, wash your hands first, and then fill up the cup. Ubeis Hillel Savri, mutur lishtamesh bekli shenitnu achorav b'mashkin. It is okay to use a tomei cup. Amri, they explain, nitzotzotz lo shchichi. The idea of droplets landing on the outside of the cup and then ruining people's hands is not something to worry about. However, v'ika l'mechash, what we are afraid of if you were to wash your hands first, like Beis Shammai said, and you will be using very likely a tomei cup, so there is room now to concern yourself. Shema yitamu mashkin shebiyodayim machmas hakos, that the hand washing that you would do first will be ruined because of the wetness in the hands that will become tomei through the tomei kos that you will be using. So Beis Hillel says, why set up your hands to a point that they're going to get ruined by washing first? So you know what? Fill up a cup of wine, and then when you're finished handling the cup, now wash your hands. Now tie your hands, and that's it. You're not going to have contact with the cup anymore. Dovar Acher. This is another Tanaic source that's a continuation of this discussion. Another reason for Beis Hillel that says to fill up the cup and then wash the hands. Take it from Tiyus Yadayim Suda, because we want to have the hand washing immediately before the eating of the bread. That's takef means immediate. So immediately after Tiyus Yadayim, then eat the bread, then the Suda, the meal. My Dovar Acher, why is it important for Beis Hillel to add this? Answer, Hochi Kromelu Beis Hillel LeBeis Shammai. Thusly, Beis Hillel says to Beis Shammai, "Lidchu the Amrisu, according to you, that say Oslu Shamish Bekli Shachorov Temein de Gazrinon Mishum Nitzotzos, according to you who are preoccupied with this issue of using only a Torah cup, and as a result of that, you can say, well, wash your hands first and then fill up the cup of wine. But afilu hachi ha adifa. But even so, our approach is better. The takef l'netilas yadayim seuda. By following our approach, by first filling up the cup of wine and then washing, you're having the hand washing right next to, right before the meal. Now, the Rashi elaborates on this. So let's take a look at the Rashi. Ho adifa, limzoig hakois tchila. In other words, according to your shita, we're taking Beis Shammai at face on their own terms, that you're going to be using a tohor cup, so this is a better thing to do. To limzog hakos tchila, fill up the cup first. It's true that there might be those droplets, and your tome hands will in the time of the cup, but still, fill up the cup. First, vachach netiyas yadayim, takef the seuda, so that your hand washing will be right before the meal. V'lo asyo chashosha denitzotzos. And we would prefer, says Beis Hillel, that don't allow the possibility of droplets being on the outside of the cup, which would serve as a conduit of the tumah from your tome hands to the cup. Don't let that come and enter the picture, umafka hilchasa, and undo to undo this halach of takef netilas yadayim seuda. In other words, you have an issue of priorities. You have an issue of what should you place more emphasis on. So Beis Hillel is saying to Beis Shammai, in all due respect to your approach, you should be placing more emphasis on takef netilas yadayim seuda, even though there may be a far-fetched risk, according to you, that the tomei hands through nitzotzots will end up being metame the cup. Continuing in the Gemara. Beis Shammai Omrim Mekaneach V'chulei. On the side of our Gemara, under the Noseh heading, we've written Hezber HaMachlokis Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, an explanation of their Machlokis Eifo Menichin Es HaMapo Shemekanchin Bo Es Yadayim. Where do we place the material, the towel that you used for wiping your hands, for drying your hands? So the Gemara Beis Shammai Omrim Mekaneach V'chulei. Tona Rabbanan. And once again, using our diamonds, we are highlighting the names in these Tanaic sources that are coming up. Tona Rabbanan Beis Shammai Omri, Mekaneach Yodav B'mapo U'manicho Al HaShulchan. Wipe your hands on the cloth and put the cloth, the damp cloth, on the table, on the surface, on the table surface, as opposed to the stool on which you're sitting. She'im ata oimer al hakis al hakesis, if you're going to say to place it on the stool, gzeiro shemu yitamu mitamashkin shebimapo machmas hakesis. We're afraid that the towel will become tomei, that means the dampness in the towel, the wet, the liquids in the towel will become tomei through the chair that you're sitting on, the cushion that you're sitting on, the yachsu vitamis yadayim, and then you're going to handle that towel again, and the towel with the mashkim tamei will ruin your hands. Question: v'netame kesis lamapa? Why not? As far as Beis Shammai, who is saying put it on the table, why why is the objection to the keses because of the mashkim in the towel? Why doesn't the keses metame the towel directly, even if it were a dry towel? The Gemara says, ain kli metame kli. The keses is a vessel, and the towel is a vessel. Kalim are not metame kalim. The question, v'netame keses legavra gufei, why not say that the keses is metame the person himself? The Gemara answers, ain kli metame odam. The keses is not a threat to the person either. The keses presents a problem only to the liquids in the towel. So, in order to avoid the towel becoming, the towel with its liquids presenting a problem, so keep it away from the keses. That's tomei. Ubeis Hillel Oimrim, al hakeses. They say, put the towel on the cushion that you're sitting on. Sheim ata oimer ala shulchan, if you're going to place the towel directly on the table, gzeiro shemel yitamu mashkim shebemacho, machmas ha-shulchan, we're afraid the mashkim in the towel will become, the liquids in the towel become tomei as a result of the table which is tomei, v'yachsu v'itamu es ha-oichlin, and then the towel which is on the table will be in contact with other foods and will metama the other food items. Question. Why doesn't the table metame the shulchan? Why, if you're worried about the oichlin becoming tamei, isn't the table going to pose a threat to the food? Why do you have to bring in the issue of the wet towel? Answer: Hocha b'shulchan sheni askinan. The table is a second level tumah. The ain sheni is a shlishi b'chulin ela ayadei mashkin. The table as a sheni doesn't present a threat to the food unless there is the liquid agent involved, where the liquid would become a rishon, and the rishon will be metame the food. B'mai komifliki. What's the underlying point of controversy between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel? Answer: Beis Shammai safri also l'shtamish b'shulchan sheni. You're not allowed to use a shulchan that's a sheni l'tuma gzera mishum ochlei truma as a precaution against kohanim who will eat truma. Kohanim are truma eaters, and truma is sensitive to a second level tuma as opposed to chulin, which is not. So Beis Shammai has this preemptive approach to things and says, don't use a shulchan sheni at all. So the shulchan in Beis Shammai's realm isn't a problem because it's tahor. Therefore, put your towel on the shulchan, which is tahor. Ubeis Hillel Safri, mutu l'shtamish b'shulchan sheni. You're allowed to use a shulchan that's a sheni l'tuma. What about the kohanim that eat truma? Oichlei truma's reason heim. People that eat truma, that means the kohanim, are diligent, they're careful, they take precautions. You don't have to take them into consideration. Davar acher, ein etilas yadayim l'chulin min ha-Torah. We can assume that this, like we saw in the previous discussion, is also a Tanaic addition for Beis Hillel. Another reason, and another reason that's given here is that ain, there is no washing of hands for chulin for on a Torah level. In other words, the Torah does not expect the person to wash his hands for the eating of chulin. My dover acher. What is gained by adding this information? So the Gemara answers, and we have a long answer marking for this section. You can see the tuf to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, indicating all of these lines form the answer. Hochi ko amri lahu beis hillel lebeis shammai. Beis Hillel intends to argue further against Beis Shammai as follows. V'chi temru, you might ask, my shno gabi oichlin d'chayshinon. Beis Shammai might say to Beis Hillel, well, why are you worried about oichlin and therefore not allowing the wet towel on the table? Umay shno gabi yodayim d'lo chayshinon. And you are yet, yes, allowing the wet towel on the keses, and thereby posing a threat to the hands, and the hands will get ruined. So you're not worried about having the, you know, you that not you're not worried about. You are worried about the food becoming tamei, but you're not worried about the hands becoming tamei. So Hillel will answer, and this is what the Dover Acher was saying, Afilu hachi ho adifa. Better to create, to allow a threat to the hands, the ein nitil yadayim lechulin minatora, the need for washing hands for the handling of food items that are chulin doesn't exist. There's no basis for that on a Torah level. Therefore, mutav shiitamu yadayim, better that hands should become tamei. The less lu ikur midoraisa, there's no Torah expectation of washing hands for chulin. The al yitamu oichlin the islu ikur midoraisa, and not allow and let's prevent food from becoming tamei, which does have a Torah basis. The concept of tumas oichlin is something that is found in the Torah, has a basis in the Torah. So therefore, we will take more precautions against allowing the food to become tamei than worrying about the hands becoming tamei. Beishamayomer mechabdin. This was also in the Mishnah, the issue of sweeping the floor and mayim achorinim. How do you order things? So Beishamay says first sweep and then do netilas yadayim of the mayim achorinim. Beis Hillel says first do the mayim achorinim and then do the sweeping. Tonu Rabbanan, and here we have as our topic on the side, Hezber Machlokes Beisham Beis Hillel, Beseder HaMetate, Esabayis Metate, is to sweep the house, Unetilas Mayim Achronim, and the washing of the hands after a meal. So Tonu Rabbanan, the Tanaic source says, Beisham Eomer Mechabdin Esabayis Vakach Doiklin Liodayim, first sweep the floor and then wash the hands. Shim ato oimer notli medayim tchila. If you're going to say first do the yomayim achreinim, then nimsato mafsid esa ochlin. The water will get over the on the floor, and any food that may have fallen to the floor will be get ruined in the with its contact with the water. So get all the food off the floor so that the mayim achreinim doesn't ruin it. Therefore, first sweep, then mayim achreinim. Skipping the parentheses section, Ubeis Hillel Omrim im shamosh talmid chacham hu noitel pirurin. If the waiter is a talmid chacham, while he was serving, he was clearing off the floor any pirurim sheish b'hem kezayis, olive sized crumbs he was clearing away to begin with. Umeniach pirurin sheish b'hem kezayis, and he will, if anything, so he'll leave very minor crumbs, and therefore, if you wash your hands first, you're not really ruining anything. Because at that point in the day, there are no significant pieces of food left to begin with. So you can do the netilas yadayim before the sweeping. You're not going to be mafsid any oichlin. Misayale, the Rabbi Yochanan, this approach that Beis Hillel takes supports Rabbi Yochanan. The Rabbi Yochanan, pirurim shein b'hem kezayis, crumbs that are less than an olive in quantity, muter la'abdon biyad. It's okay to actually destroy them, and pouring water over them will, in fact, ruin them. And there's no problem because they're less than a kezayis in size. B'mai komifli, what's the underlying point of machlokes? So, Beis Hillel Safri, Osur Lishpamish B'Shamash Amoretz. Beis Hillel says, you're not going to be using an ignoramus waiter in the first place. So, you don't have kezayis-sized crumbs. So, there's no reason to insist on the hand washing, the only reason to insist on the sweeping first. There's no food that's significant left there to begin with. Ubeis Shammai Savri Mutu Lishamish B'Shamash Amoretz. Beis Shammai says you can use an ignoramus type waiter. He'll leave large pieces on the floor also, and we don't want them getting ruined. So sweep up first and then wash the hands. Amr Rabbi Yosef Chanina, Amr Ravuna, Bekule Pirkin Halacha kebeis Hillel. Throughout the perek, the halacha follows Beis Hillel. Bar Mehal, the halacha kebeis Shammai, except for this last point concerning the use of a shamash. That's an Am Haaretz, where we follow Beis Shammai, who will allow a shamash Am Haaretz, and as a result of that, first sweep and then netilas mayim achronim. Rav Shaya Masni, Rav Shaya has the halachas that we just had in an opposite form, where Beis Hillel says, first sweep and then wash your hands. and being, and the result of that is because, or the cause of that is because you're allowed to use a shamash amarz, but he, Rav Hoshaya, has this under Beis Hillel's name, ubohanami aloch go Beis Hillel, and therefore this point also, regarding this point also, we will follow Beis Hillel because of the fact that Beis Hillel is the one, according to Rav Hoshaya, teaching that it's mutter to use the shamash amarz. Beis Shammai omrim ner umazon ubesomim v'havdala, and Beis Hillel says ner besomim mazon v'havdala. So we're going to be focusing here on the issue of order between regarding the bracha over the candle and over the besomim on Motzoi Shabbos. Rav Huna bar Yehuda ikla lebei Rava. Rav Huna visited Rava. Chazia le Rava de borech habesomim reishon. He saw Rava do the following order: first besomim and then ner. Amarlei, Rav Huna asks, Michti Beis Shammai uBeis Hillel, Amor lo pligi. If you look back at the Mishnah quote, whether you hold Beis Shammai or Beis Hillel, there's no argument regarding the candle. They both will say candle first, then besamim. Not like you who did besamim then candle. De Sanyo, Beis Shammai omrim ner umazon besamim v'avdalah, Beis Hillel ner besamim mazon v'avdalah. You see, through the markings, you can see very quickly that as far as order is concerned, ner is before besamim, whether you're Beis Shammai or Beis Hillel. So why are you having besamim before the ner? Oni Rava Basre, Rava answered, responded to Rav Huna's question. He says, Zu divrei Rabbi Meir. The suggestion or the source that you just cited, who has the ner first, that's Rabbi Meir's version of Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. Aval Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. He says, Lo nechleku Beis Shammai Beis Hillel al hamazon shehu betchilo v'al havdolo shebesov. Rabbi Yehuda's version of Beis Shammai Beis Hillel states that as far as Birchas Hamazon and Havdalah are concerned, Birchas Hamazon will be first and Havdalah will be at the end. Their machlokis is in fact over the issue of candle and spices. Beis Shammai says candle first then besom. Beis Hillel omrim. Beis Hillel's version as far as Rabbi Yehuda is concerned, is Rabbi Yehuda's version of Beis Hillel is besomim b'akach, more like I did. First besomim and then candle. V'yom Rabbi Yochanan no'agu ha'om k'beis Hillel alibo de Rabbi Yehuda. Not only that, but Rabbi Yochanan says that we practice Rabbi Yehuda's version of Beis Hillel, and that's what I did. Continuing in the machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel regarding the text of the bracha over the candle, Beis Shammai said boro mo'or, or do we say borei me'orei? Omar Rabba, bebora fuliam lo pligi debora mashma. In the formulation of brachas, it's important that the bracha has a past tense connotation. Everyone agrees that the word bora indicates past tense. Ki pligi beborei, the machlokis Beis Shammai's Hillel revolves around the borei possibility. Beis Shammai Savri borei de osig lemivra. Borei has a future connotation according to Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel Savri borei nami de bora mashma. Borei also, not only bora, but borei also bora has is a past tense term. Mosiv Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef asks on Rava, how can you say that the machlokis concerns borei when you have psukim that all indicate past tense, and you're not going to argue with the psukim. Yotzer uborei choshech, the Almighty who formed light and created darkness. That's past tense. Yotzer horim uborei ruach, borei hashamayim v'noteihem. All of these are psukim indicating creation, the creation, which was past tense, which is in the past tense. Ela omar Rav Yosef. Therefore, we have a second approach. Boro borei kuleyama lo pligi debora mashma. Whether it's bora or borei, everyone agrees, past tense. Ki pligi, the machlokis concerns b'mo'or u'ma'orei. The Beis Shammai Savri Chada Nahora Ika Benura. Beis Shammai says that when you focus on the candle, there's one light. It creates a, we'll call it a white light. Ubeis Hillel Savri Tuva Nahori Ika Benura. You have to use a plural expression because when you focus at the flame, not so much the light that it casts, but you look at the flame itself, you'll notice that there are different colors, and therefore Me'orei, the plural word, must be used. Tanyonami Hachi Amru Lehem Beis Hillel Beis Shammai Harbe Me'oros Yesh Bor. You can see from this brisa that the focus of the Beis Hillel's point is the number of different colors that one sees in the flame itself. Ein Mevorchin V'chule Lo Al Ne'er V'lo Absomen Shel Akum. Not to make a bracha or mission said on a candle, nor on spices that are of belonging to an idol worshiper. Bishlamon Ne'er, I understand not using an idol worshiper's candle for your Havdalah light, for your Havdalah fire, Mishum Delo Shavas. It was not in a state of Shvisav, of rest. Rashi says, Mishum Delo Shavas, Mimelech HaSavera. It was not at a state of rest from prohibited activity. Sha'ovei Kochavim Oisim Alocha La'oro. The Gentile, the Ovei Kochavim, is using the fire, the light, for his Malacha on Shabbos. V'tanil Kamon, Or Shelo Shavas, Ein Mevorchen Olav, Hoyol V'nev De Bo'avera. Light, that a candle that wasn't in a state of rest during Shabbos, is not to be used. Ela, Besamim, my time, although, why is the besamim of an idol worshiper not to be used? Omar of Yehuda, Omar Rav, Hocha b'mesibas oivde kechovim askinon, b'pneshes stam, mesibas oivde kechovim lavoide zorahi. Here, we're talking about spices from an idol worshiper's party. You can assume, without any absolute knowledge, that the party that an idol worshiper holds is in honor of an idol. The Gemara asks, and of course things that are associated with idolatry are forbidden. The Gemara asks, "V'homidik toni seifa?" From the fact that the Mishnah says later, "Ein mevorchin lo al haner v'lo al psamim shel avodah zarah." The Mishnah later deals with the candles and spices of an idol. Mechal de reisha lav avodah zarah askinan. It must be that the earlier part of the Mishnah is not dealing with that. Amar Rabbi Chanina Misura Matam Komar. In fact, the Mishnah is talking about the same idea, and it's in a Matam construction. Matam Ein Mevorchim Lo Al Ner V'Lo Al Psamim Shel Akum. Why does not one use the candle nor spices of an idol worshiper? Mitneshes Stam Mesibas Oyvdei Kechovim Lavodizar. Because the assumed purpose of a party of an idol worshiper is to honor his idol, and we don't want you making brachas over things that are idolatry oriented. Tonu Rabbanan or Shishavas Mevorchin Olav Shelo Shavas Ein Mevorchin Olav. A candle, a flame that was at a state of rest, you can say the Havdalah bracha over it. One that was used on Shabbos, you do not say a bracha over it. Umay lo Shabbos, what do you mean by that? The Gemara continues at the top of Nun Gimel Amud Aleph. I name a lo Shabbos machmas melocha afilu mi melocha dehetera. If you'll say that it wasn't burning at all on Shabbos, even for allowed purposes. Tanya, that's not true. We have a source that says, "Or shelchayav shelchayim mevorchen olav." If there was a candle for a chaya is a midwife helping a woman give birth on Shabbos, or it was a candle of someone who was sick who needed the light over Shabbos, you're allowed to use that. Amar of Nachman bar Yitzchok, my shavas sheshavas mi meleches avera. It was not used for purposes that would be usher on Shabbos. That kind of candle, a candle that was used for Melechas Aveiro, would not be allowed to be used for Havdalah. Tanya Nami Hachi, we have a Tanaic source that supports our explanation. Ashoshish Shehoisu Delechas Vahilechas Kol Ayom Kulo, a lantern that was filled with enough fuel so that it was burning from Erev Shabbos. It wasn't lit on Shabbos. It wasn't lit at all on Shabbos, and it was burning throughout Shabbos. You can use that on Motzoi Shabbos, but if it were lit on Shabbos, that would be called Meleches Avera, so that would not be allowed. This concludes our today's Daf Yomi section of Gemara Markings of our Daf Yomi Shir. For those who are interested,
Our site offers a shiur on today's Daf Yomi Tosfos, presenting the Tosfos text with explanation.